I'm Chris Rebolo with an update on efforts to rein in direct-to-consumer genetic testing services in California. This is a special report for California Healthline, a daily news service from the California Healthcare Foundation. Interested in your risk for rheumatoid arthritis or male pattern baldness? The plummeting cost of genetic testing has given rise to a hot new industry. Consumers willing to pay a price can submit a saliva sample or a swab from their cheek and get direct access to information about their own DNA. Last month, the State Department of Public Health began cracking down on the commercial enterprise, sending cease and desist letters to 13 companies that offer services to Californians. Since then, a smattering of the companies have suspended operations in California. The majority are still up and running. The stage is being set for what could either be a conciliatory agreement on business practices or a march to a courthouse. Dr. Bonnie Sorensen, the Chief Deputy Director of Policy and Programs at DPH, says the state action was not based on any one case.
It was really an accumulation of consumer complaints about not only the cost, but also the accuracy of the tests. Plus, there had been national interest in this issue. We are in the health education business in public health, and our concern from our department really is in making sure that these firms are complying with California law.
California followed New York in targeting the direct-to-consumer services. Laws in both states are among the most stringent in the nation. California law says physicians, not consumers, must order lab tests. The state also requires laboratories running the test to be state-licensed, able to validate methodologies used to both run the test and interpret the results. One of the issues is whether the tests are diagnostic or for informational purposes only. That second stance is the one being taken by industry leaders. Linda Avery is co-founder of 23andMe, a company name based on the fact that humans have 23 pairs of chromosomes. The company is a Google-backed startup based in Mountain View.
We're looking forward to having a discussion with them about our current process and where we can work with them to have a system that they are comfortable with, that we're working with, and that is good for our customers as well.
No date has been set for a meeting between 23andMe and the state. Sorensen says DPH will continue to work with each of the companies to understand their business and gather information about their processes.
The recent actions by California and New York are not surprising in the absence of federal action.
That's Gail Javitt, Law and Policy Director at the Genetics and Public Policy Center at Johns Hopkins University. She co-authored a recent article in the journal Science that raised a red flag about the current unregulated state of affairs. She talked about a lack of scientific validity of genetic tests that focus on how an individual metabolizes particular drugs.
There are online direct-to-consumer companies offering testing for drug response. So one risk is that a consumer might take this test and might adjust his or her dose of medication or stop taking the medication entirely based on those results, and that could have harmful consequences.
The future of the personal genomic services industry will likely play out at both the state and federal levels. Javitt's organization is calling for the FDA to step up its oversight, which is currently limited to tests that are sold as kits. The Policy Center also says companies offering genetic tests should be required to submit information to a national registry, which doctors and patients could then use when choosing a testing service. Many of the key players in and interested in the DNA testing industry attended a recent HHS Advisory Committee meeting in Washington, focused on genetics, health, and society. 23andMe's Avery met with competitors from Navigenics, based in Redwood City, and DecodeMe Genetics, based in Iceland. She says the three companies are considering developing common standards to determine disease risks and are looking at drafting their own regulations for genetic testing. Avery says she's particularly interested in the Federal Trade Commission taking a look at claims made by companies that sell products based on the results of genetic testing. The FTC is investigating at least two unidentified companies that offer direct-to-consumer genetic testing. Matthew Daynard, a senior attorney in the FTC's Bureau of Consumer Protection, expects his agency to decide on a course of action by the end of the year.
And the question is whether what some of the companies are doing is ready for prime time in terms of associating particular gene variants with diseases and potentially implying that they have a significant impact on health outcomes such that consumers should really spend the money for these, and two, that the recommendations they make improve outcome for specific genotype people.
The three leading companies charge between $985 and $2,500 for their services. All of them focus on genetic risk factors for diseases such as cancer, diabetes, and multiple sclerosis. Some offer information on genetic traits ranging from caffeine metabolism to pain sensitivity and lactose intolerance. All of them vary in their relationships with their customers and how they convey the meaning of the tests.
I can't get into the scientific or ethical issues to whether a healthcare provider is absolutely necessary in all circumstances to interpret this data, but being a layperson myself, it sure seems that way to me. And having looked at some of this stuff, how do you understand what an effect size is or what an odds ratio is compared to your lifetime risk of developing a disease, because they're not the same thing?
23andMe's Avery admits that information being delivered to people is ahead of any kind of clinical validity. Her company is addressing that by giving customers opportunities to submit information about their own health as a way of getting involved in genomics-based research. She also says the company is aware of a communication issue.
We just had one of our first user gatherings where we were getting feedback from people, and I think it is pretty clear that we need to continue to work on our interface, all the web-based tools that we have, to make them even easier to use and easier to understand. And so this is definitely going to be a work in progress. And it's sort of like you see with any kind of a new product or service coming out, that the early stages, when you look back on them, you realize, wow, you know, we had a ways to go and things got so much better with time. You know, we couldn't do this perfect right out of the box.
Avery says it's yet to be determined whether her company will do anything differently based on the letter she received from the state of California. She hopes the state maintains its reputation as a national innovator.
I think we're very open to doing things that make sense to make sure that the states realize that we are doing this to be a positive and a beneficial service to our customers and to the community. Because if we can make some healthcare discoveries in genetics, we do think it will benefit everyone eventually. This is a new paradigm, and new things come along all the time that regulations sometimes that are from the past need to be revised so that they reflect more of what's going on in the future. And we're hopeful that the states will be open to having that discussion.
This has been a special report for California Healthline, a daily news service from the California Healthcare Foundation. If you have feedback or other issues you'd like to have addressed, please email us at chl@chcf.org. I'm Chris Rebelow. Thanks for listening.